Okay, we're ready for public comment. Is Ivan Olson here? No, is Richard? Oh, Ivan is there. There you go. Go ahead, Ivan. We're gonna have 2 minutes each. Can you keep time,
yeah,
down?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Let him know at 30 seconds.
Can you hear me without yelling?
Maybe not so well yet, but I have this funny feeling we will when you start.
Can you hear me?
Can you?
Yes or no?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Hang on, but our timekeeper has got butter on her knife.
That's because they buttered her up to give her more time.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, timekeeper ready?
Back to Henny Youngman School for you.
Yeah.
Let me know, timekeeper.
Just go ahead, Ivan.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you all. Thank all the listeners for being here. Just actually being here. In other words, whether you said anything or talked to anybody, thank you for your presence of coming to be witness to this and making it more successful than without you being here. Thank you all your board members for traveling, spending all your time and your effort. It's so much of your effort we don't see because we're not actually here. I mean, what I mean is we're not witness all that effort you're doing at home, calling and so on. And I'd like to publicly thank you for all your effort.
Thank you very much, Ivan.
One of the comments or things, anyway, the word global warming, in other words, it's a fact, it's happening. I can document reports out of England that we have 4 years to do something, or the reports in the United States that we have 10 years. This is to do something, or the effects of global warming will be irreversible, is what I'm referring to. So what I would like to plant a seed, implore, beg the board to come up with a national policy, come up with a referendum policy or something. Anyway, something to say that we as Pacifica need to educate our listeners about possible solutions to this problem that will affect us all, whether we like it or not. And there's so much documented proof, and scientists have seen the movie Inconvenient Truth, that it is fact. So when you look at that movie and you see that the sea level will come up 20 feet, some reports more, but even 5 feet or 10 feet, it will stop society as we know it today. So this is not something that we cannot ignore, or if we do not ignore it, our listeners and our whole world will be affected in an irresistible way. So I'm sort of stepping up the plate, giving you the warning. Please, I beg of you, and for your children, not only, I mean, it's not an issue of your great-grandchildren or your grandchildren, it's an issue of your children. Our lives will be affected irreversibly if we do not start educating and talking about solutions to the problem of global warming on our airwaves. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ivan. Richard Phelps.
I have just a couple short things I want to bring up. First, I want to read something from Robert's Rules of Order, page 395. A member has no right to explain his vote during voting. Mr. Chairman, you took about a minute and a half to do a soliloquy before you voted, and that was grossly out of order. And it's essentially you're putting your thumb on the scale with this meeting. You do it periodically. That was the best example I could give you. And I would just ask you not to do that, because it's not your role to be giving little speeches here and there. You're supposed to be facilitating. And if you want to give speeches, you should sit out here and let somebody else facilitate. So take your thumb off the scale, please. The other thing I want to say is just from my heart, you know, what is the point of having an election if you're going to hide it? I mean, we're radio stations. Our people that are going to vote listen to the stations. As it stands now at KPFA, according to what management has said, there's not going to be any mentions of that election from October 3rd through October 19th. People are going to get their ballots on the 17th or 18th, and they're going to vote, maybe, before they hear anything. I mean, am I in Alice in Wonderland? Is the world upside down? I mean, does this make any sense? That's, you know, I mean, you know, we don't need a Red Queen, and we don't need to have an election and hide it. We need to have an election and get quorum, and we need to involve the people. We need to activate our listeners. And if they're involved in things, they're going to donate more. Thank you.
Thank you. Stan Woods.
Yeah, I'd also like to speak about the election, too. My name is Stan Woods. I'm a member of the KPFA local station board. I do not have to run for re-election this year, though I do next year if I want to continue. You know, what's the term, what's the phrase, something about something that may not violate the letter of the law but violates the spirit of the law? I feel that's what happened here in KPFA land last Sunday. There was a benefit for a slate called the Concerned Listeners. It was at one of their most prominent slate members' home. All well and good, that's politics, except for the fact the prominent KPFA programmers, Larry Bensky, Philip Maldry, Eileen Alfadari, Mark Miracle, Bonnie Simmons, sent out e-invitations, probably in the thousands of people, urging them to come to raise money for a listener slate. Granted, they did not say it on the air. Granted, to the best of our knowledge, they didn't use station facilities to promote this. But it still plays hell with the spirit of the bylaws. And I think things like that should be looked into and certainly should be noted. Because I feel it just it puts other slates opposed to them, like the Alliance for Democratic KPFA, for example, plus the independents, in a real disadvantage. And I hope the board will take note of instances like this and try to come up with something to prevent them next time around, because I feel it's giving a grossly unfair advantage. Thank you.
Steve Zeltzer.
Yeah, I'm happy that the board passed a resolution for some accountability in this election process, and I think we have to have that at KPFA and all the stations, as a matter of fact. At the same time, I think that, and I understand that Lim, I wasn't able to be here last night, said the manager of KPFA that she's against banning of collectives and others, I guess without due process, which is what has happened at KPFA. But I think the problem has been that the UPSO organization, which was supposed to meet under its bylaws monthly, hasn't been meeting for 6-7 months. And Greg Goom has been informed of that, and Lim has been informed of that, and they've taken no action to say that the UPSO has to carry out their bylaws. They have to have regular meetings. This is the responsibility of governance. So you have a situation now that I have been banned, and apparently the Tracy Rosenberg have said that I'm not eligible to run as a listener candidate. And I think it typifies the kind of non-democratic process that is going on in the governance of KPFA, and that management have to be accountable. Also, I understand Les Radke wants a democratic election. Well, the board members were asking here, what do you want, Les? Do you want more staff? What procedures do you want? You have to put out directives what you want. If you want cards play, you should put out a directive. Whether the managers do that or not is another question. But you have to let people know what the playing floor is and what's being requested. If you don't do that, then you can't have accountability. And I believe that that is what we have to have at Pacifica and KPFA. The problem has been, and I understand a manager left in the middle of this meeting, took off yesterday, just disappeared. Well, I feel that's unacceptable. How many Pacifica board meetings do you have a year? This is part of the responsibility of a manager. They should all be here listening and understanding what are the issues at Pacifica. The failure to do that is a contempt for Pacifica, a contempt for the board, an attitude that we'll run things the way we want to run things and to hell with the board. Well, this is unacceptable. This is something that we challenge in UPSO, and we challenge it at the KPFA board. You have to take responsibility and accountability. We are paying them. The listeners are paying them and contributing money to have the governance of a radio station or network that people are responsible. We call for Bush to be responsible. We call for the politicians to be responsible. How about some responsibility in the governance of Pacifica and the stations? That's what we're asking for. And I think that's a responsible kind of thing that we have to do, and we're going to continue to fight for. Thank you.
Thanks.
Maxine. And while Maxine's getting up, I'll just let Steve know. Steve, I spoke to the election supervisor outside and asked that all directives be in writing to managers and CC'd to the board, so we have a paper record of all the things that were asked of them as a context for any evaluations that might occur consistent with our earlier motion. Maxine?
Yeah, I have the microphone. I'm sitting down so I can read my comments. The one-year moratorium on the labor collective proposals or the banning of the labor community programming is a symptom of the larger disease. The labor collective was banned because labor collective members challenged the process by which the program council makes its decisions. We were banned because we saw organizational transparency in the decision-making process at the program council, the unpaid staff organization, and the management at KPFA. Ursula and Pete talked about Pacifica being behind the curve, not because of not having access to technological infrastructure, but because of the lack of human resource infrastructure. We also heard from the National Election Supervisor that management at the stations are not necessarily facilitating human resource infrastructure, let alone the technological infrastructure. I'm glad that you are all so impressed with KPFA's IGM's money development abilities, but with falling listenership, a five-year time clock ticking on relevant FM stations, and no hope of competent management in sight, there will be a moratorium placed on Pacifica's mission statement forthcoming. So let's talk about the solution. I propose that a convention for all Pacificans, listeners, all programmers, staff paid and unpaid, management, LSB members, program council members, operation and tech workers take place before each of the board meetings so that current and future network participants can come together to build community and take part in training to create more relevant local and national programming by employing new technology to maintain Pacifica as a relevant social justice platform. These nationally sponsored conventions or conferences ought to be funded by Pacifica to facilitate LSB board trainings, financial committee trainings, programmer skill sharing, and open roundtable idea sharing to increase the unanimity amongst ourselves to afford all who value Pacifica the opportunity to participate in the highest functioning way possible. Pacifica Foundation ought to fund a person like Pete at each of the stations for a total cost of $300,000 to be obtained from grants to train, streamline, and oversee the implementation of new technologies and licensing rights.
Maxine?
I'll end by saying that Pacifica as a network needs to help bring some balance back to listeners by providing this level of support at each of the stations.
Okay, hold on, folks. Maxine, could you transmit that in writing to the secretary? Thank you very much. Nancy Kyler?
My message keeps on changing here, okay? I'm an UPSO member. As of January, I became an UPSO member. I was treated as an UPSO member, okay? I wrote a letter in January asking about the town hall meeting and how badly it was run. After that, I got asked to register again as an UPSO member. It was completely in retaliation. And I just saw what Tracy Rosenberg sent me in September of this year, sends me a list, and I'm not on the list, okay? And she wanted me to appeal, but why would I appeal when I had already been a member? I'd been made a member, okay? I don't understand what is going on. When I first got on here, it was 30 hours, it was very casual. We worked our butts off the first 3 or 4 months before December of 2005. And I registered twice. And the bylaw said put down 30 hours. I put down 30 hours. They said a statement of 30 hours, give it to your boss, who is Chris Welch, or give it to whoever you're supposed to give it to. It was Chris Welch. I did all of that. I was asked to choose somebody to go on the town hall meeting. We did send in our choice, but nobody ever responds to anything that you write to the program or the KPFA. They don't respond to you. So in September, this month, okay, who knew? I was going to vote for Steve. I was going to, and we were all right there, and Tracy Rosenberg, who just, I don't know, Les came on in May and gives Tracy all of this power. Tracy goes through the list and eliminates Carl Bryant, Tammy Bryant. We have really worked our butts off. They just eliminated it because they didn't want us to vote. They didn't want us to vote. Okay, it is so completely, and then I read here by Les, there are no standards for maintaining membership lists, particularly of the unpaid staff. So where did, and I wrote to Tracy, I said, I'm not filling out any appeal form. You send me the list, and then I will let, you know, you send me the list for proof.
Thank you.
What's going on here?
Thank you very much.
There is no management at KPFA.
Where did the list go? Dwayne, I think you're next. I'll look for the list.
I just want to take advantage of public comment for two reasons. One, to thank everybody involved in this once again, and I look forward to those of you who will be attending the next PNB meeting, which will be in Houston sometime early next year. And to those of you who will be transitioning to not being on the PNB in its next incarnation, thank you for your dedication, your time, and your willingness to serve the greater good. I was going to sing y'all a song since you're eating, and I figured that might not be good for your digestion. So I have a little thing on my laptop that I want to share with you that has helped me in recent days and weeks deal with some of the stress of being a Pacifican. And in the spirit of feeling the love, and also with a proviso to don't trip when you hear this if it bothers you, I just want to play you this. It's a minute and 41 seconds, so I'll see if I can make this work.
Hi, my name is Ray, and on yesterday my daughter called me because she was stressed out because of things that were going on her job that she felt were quite unfair. Being quite disturbed, she called for comfort, and I didn't really know what to tell her because we have to deal with so much mess in our society. So I was led to write this song just for her, to just give her some encouragement while dealing with stress and pressures on her job. And I figured I'd put it on the internet for all employees under stress to help you better deal with what you're going through on your job. Here's how the song goes. I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home. 'Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Now, you might not be able to sing that out loud, but you can hum it to yourself, and you know what the words are, and let it give you some strength to get through the next few moments on your job. All right? Stay strong. Peace.
Thank you.
Max, I'm sorry. You have to follow that act.
I have to say, make a few comments. First of all, I heard a couple of weeks ago a superb program that was by Sasha Lilly on Bertolt Brecht. It was, in my view, a brilliant program, making use of the archives. Of course, the intellectual content was very high. And my plea to you is that in all the programming in the various stations, for Christ's sake, use the archives. That's the collective memory of this network, this foundation. And it's the memory also of the progressive community in this country. That's the least you can do. Speaking of memory, though, I'd say that in the last 2 weeks, I have had the impression that a lobotomy was performed on Pacifica. And I'll mention two instances. There was the meeting of the non-aligned countries in Havana. I believe there was very little at KPFA on that. Likewise, a couple of weeks ago, Mao Tse-tung passed. no matter how you feel about him, given his central role in Chinese history and in central place of China today in world history. For Christ's sake, I cannot understand that there was nothing substantial on China or Bandung. Folks, a lobotomy has been performed on us. Our role is to educate. Educate about progressive history. How much we may dislike it today, but we need to tell that story. Now, I'll move to my second point. And that has to do with finances. I see you all talking about salary increases and headcount. That's part of the major victory achieved as part of this democratic process. If you talk intelligently about finances today, it's because we fought for it. And here in Berkeley, we're particularly proud of that. And there was much resistance throughout to that kind of disclosure. Now, the gentleman from the affiliates mentioned that in keeping with the increases in income and all of that, that there's been a substantial increase in salaries. I think there is a fundamental problem here. We had a huge row in Berkeley over the fact that we went from 29 FTEs to 43 FTEs. And the problem we have is that we should be learning to live within our means. We should not be increasing salaries because we have the money. We should be setting the level at what is needed to have good radio, not the other way around, because this is not sustainable. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Max. Sasha, and then Jim.
Hi, my name is Sasha Futrin, and I'm a candidate for the local KPFA. LSB, I wanted to talk to you about both the banning of the labor collective and this election because those two things are very closely tied together. First of all, on the LSB level, the banning, there's been an attempt to get that banning overturned at five different LSB meetings. It may have been on the agenda for more, I don't know. But it actually was on the agenda and discussed at five different LSB meetings. There's never enough time. They run out of time to actually vote. And that's because approving of the agenda, I know you all heard this yesterday, it doesn't take 1 hour. It takes three or more, believe it or not. The banning has been on the top of each agenda. At the last meeting in September, there was a resolution to lift that banning. Staff member Brian Edwards-Tiegert had an amendment to that banning that ate up all the time of discussion. He did not vote for his own amendment, by the way. These are the kinds of games that are played. Steve Zeltzer is a candidate, is to be a listener candidate. He's been banned. He hasn't done any programming. Lem yesterday said you asked her if the banning was going to be taken care of in a timely fashion. Nobody bothered to find out what she meant by timely. But by timely, she means they were banned on March 8th. It will be 7 months on October 8th, very shortly. I don't know what timing means. But she seems to be out of date because I received an email on the 28th put out by Tracy Rosenberg in which there is an accounting of Steve Zeltzer's time. And they put him down as working 35 hours. That is for 3.5 hours of airtime. And he was given 10 hours, you know, it's a ratio for each hour of airtime.
Hold on, Sasha. Can board members please give their full attention? Yeah. Thank you.
For each. And I thought I had photocopied that entire memo, and I had it to pass out to you. But don't pass it out because there's a big piece missing in the photocopying. And I'd be glad to provide that by email to whoever would like. Can I ask you to bear with me? I'm not going to be able to complete this in 30 seconds. If you think this is important, could I just finish this accounting?
Is there an objection to allowing the speaker an additional minute? Go ahead.
Thank you very much. In any event, they are giving Steve, for every hour on the air, 10 hours of prep time and being on the air. That includes a half an hour documentary that was not prepared and was not originally aired, has nothing to do with KPFA, but that the Labor Collective edited down to a half an hour. But Steve did produce some interviews for that documentary. I don't know how you can say he was working for KPFA in that time frame. It's impossible. The other thing is that the other programs, he always had a co-host, either two or three hosts. The entire prep time is given to him. Now, there are 14 members of the collective. even if someone isn't on the air, they may have participated in preparing that program. So are you going to say that for every hour produced by the labor collective, 14 people, there must have been 140 hours worth of work going into that? Because that's what you're saying with this. I did want to say one other thing. There is no accounting at KPFA of unpaid staff time. There is no method for doing this. They do not put in any kind of weekly, program-wise, monthly, quarterly reports. The hours assigned to all these people are completely arbitrary. And this is not being handled at all in a timely fashion, either by the station or by the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Weber, Wendy.
I'd like to respectfully request that Steve Seltzer not photograph me. All right. I put my name at the end of the line because I knew what you're going to face tonight. This board, as far as I'm concerned, has done a marvelous job of demonstrating the democratic process, and that I've never seen on KPFA. I've attended every single board meeting at KPFA. There's never been a board meeting that has allowed the democratic process to work, because there's warring factions trying to destroy the people on the board who are pro-democratic and want to function democratically. Now, you've just had a taste of the anti-democratic people on the board and their allies that have come here today to dump on you, to criticize you, to threaten you for things that you have no control over, because it's just an exercise in abuse of power. So I just want to tell you, I want to apologize for them, to you for them, their rude behavior, because it has nothing to do with the democratic process of a democratic board. Thank you.
Thank you. Wendy Schrell.
Hey, well, I'm not going to talk about the banning of the labor collective, except to say that when we do these kind of bannings, this is one version of it. We saw the suspension of Paul DiRienzo in New York. We saw a sort of similar situation with
Kim
Friedland.
Hold on. I'm going to ask all board members to reserve their groans for each other and not for the listeners. Go ahead.
When these bannings happen, we end up spending all of our time for the rest of the year on it, is my point. Whatever side you're on it, you should be, you know, you should have all the ducks in a row if you're going to do something like these bannings. And that said, I wanted to just thank everyone on the PNB for being here. I know how grueling your job is, sitting through these in-person weekend meetings. It's been grueling for all the people here in the audience, too. We all care about Pacifica. And, you know, to subject ourselves to this is, you know, it's fantastic that everybody cares so much. I do have to say, if you guys don't vote to extend the election at PFW for another 2 weeks, you really need to vote for that. We can't have a candidate with less election with less candidates than seats. And I really urge you to do that. We need new blood in all our stations. I'm looking forward to a lot of the members being replaced so we can get back to voting for the health of the foundation as opposed to protecting our friends, whether they're on the board or on the staff or on the air. So thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for the public comment. In answer to your question, Wendy, the National Election Supervisor informed me that he is going to be mandating the extension of the election. I don't see anything in the bylaws that suggests that this body needs to act to do that, and it might even be a violation of the autonomy of the elections director for us to do so.
Point of order.
Yes.
Inasmuch as the chair responded to one public comment.
Please.
I just want to respond to the speaker who said that we should act on mandating carts be played and so on. This board has passed motions that all five signal areas shall play carts as they have in past elections. So we are addressing these issues.
And we are now about to address some more of them. We're doing the Elections Committee action items. There are five of them in your board packet. Two of them have actually already come before the board.
That's true.
I believe the remaining ones are motions one, two, and five, entitled Access to Membership Rosters, Auditing, Vetting, and Accuracy of Voter Lists,
and transparency of meetings. How much time does the board feel we need to process each of these motions?
Can we
allot 10 minutes to each item? The problem with even that is that we're going to be here till 4 p.m.
No, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Realizing that we're under enormous time constraints.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to just unilaterally, I've been trying to reach the chair of our board, because some of these are somewhat moot. In other words, one of them calls for actions August 25th, which is not exactly today.
There's another one coming in 9 months.
Sorry. Oh, you mean, yes, for it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Like birth. Okay, well, let me direct you then to number 6 in your board packet. This will be easier if you go to number 6 in your board packet.
What is number 6?
It goes 1 through 5.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a moment.
Tab 6.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm on the wrong page then.
Is it Elections Committee, Don?
Yeah.
Okay. That's blue tab number 6.
Got it. Yes, sir?
And which motion number?
I was right for once. Okay. and if you go beyond the cover page to motions for adoption by PM, PNB from elections. And if you come down to motion 1, access to membership rosters. Now, I will point out that the time frame of this, the election committee has been dealing with this over a long period of time. And so the time frame sometimes almost makes some of this moot, except for the next election. Resolve that local and national election supervisors shall have access to the current and past membership rosters retained by general managers so that they may independently judge whether or not elections based on such membership rosters may be certified.
Yeah, we need to agree, the board needs to agree by at least 2/3 majority on the time it's going to allot to our considering of this section. Do you want to recommend a time that we need to deal with the motions?
Assuming that there will be immediate yes votes on everything, I would say
15 minutes?
Let's say 15 minutes.
Total.
Is there a second?
15 seconds.
Any objection? 15 minutes starting now. So the motion Don just read is from the committee. It doesn't require a second.
Correct.
Is there debate on the point? Okay. Is there would anybody like to speak in opposition?
Pardon? Could we just see if anyone objects?
I'm trying to do that. Would anybody like to speak in opposition? Seeing no. Yes, Sarv?
It's not opposition, but I just want point information.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that would it be wise to leave these recommendations to till after this election, so that a compilation of whole bunch of series of recommendations from the National Election Supervisor that could be put forth to the Pacific National Board for the next election?
That's a solicitation of an opinion more than a request for information.
Well,
so
I can respond to it
as a point of information. Given the time, I'm going to ask if there are anybody who wants to speak in opposition to the passage of this motion at this time. Seeing none, may we adopt it without objection?
Yes.
Great, thank you. Next, Don?
On the same page, motion 2, auditing, vetting, and accuracy of voter lists. This is a major problem, as we've heard from public comment. Resolve that local and national election supervisors shall have access to the current and past membership rosters. Oh, excuse me.
We did that.
How is this?
No, that's a different one.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good. That local and national election supervisors shall have access to the current and past membership rosters retained by general managers so that they may independently judge whether or not elections based on such membership rosters may be certified, and whereas...
No, where's the motion?
Let's drop down. Can I drop down to...
Let's drop down.
Yeah, let's drop down. Therefore, the PNB Elections Committee urgently recommends that the general managers, program directors, department heads, and other responsible staff members expedite the validation of staff data, volunteer data, and work histories for the purpose of creating audible lists for the use of the local election supervisors and therefore... And further, that beginning August 25, 2006, the PNB Executive Elections Committee respectfully requests that the National Election Supervisor update the Elections Committee weekly as to any difficulties encountered in collecting this data and in carrying out his responsibilities as described in the bylaws.
Since the last is just a request by the Elections Committee, I don't think the board needs to consider it. And, of course, the date would be struck. But is there any need to include the last clause?
Probably not, but I would like to comment to it. The Elections Committee, the Elections Committee has had Les Radke in our meetings by telephone a lot. We were aware very early, somewhat earlier, that there were some crises brewing, and that's why we wanted to work closely with him and get updates.
I have a question about the prior paragraph. It says the Election Committee urgently recommends, et cetera. Is the intention that the PNB will urgently recommend that these people do something?
That is actually the way the this committee is recommending to the PNB that they take on this responsibility, that they that they direct this to happen.
I think then the language that is appropriate is the PNB directs the executive director to instruct.
I agree.
That the general managers, et cetera, et cetera.
I agree.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This resolution, I am on that committee. I'm the secretary of that committee. Mm-hmm. This was because this wasn't happening at KPFA and other places had different sorts of problems, but these people have come together and created the list
what
for this election. This resolution, as it is worded, is moot at this point. If we want to craft, the election committee will meet, and I will take back to the election committee that we need to craft something that would be applicable to future elections, but this particular wording is moot, and I see no reason to vote on it.
I would like to question whether other members of the Elections Committee agree that the point is moot.
No.
Okay,
no.
Thank you. I'm going to rule it in order. Is there any request to... No, I don't hear any challenge to the ruling of the chair. But the language does need to be changed because the board can't pass a resolution that the Elections
right.
Committee urgently recommend. So
I'm bringing this from a committee.
I understand. So, but can we the language be changed that the PNB instructs the executive director to direct that the general managers, et cetera?
Yes.
Does the secretary have that language?
I'm doing that right now, and I'm going to try to find the electronic copy.
Okay. Okay, so does anybody require a rereading of that before we debate? Who would like to speak in opposition? Seeing no opposition, may the corrected text be adopted without objection?
I have one question.
Go ahead.
What does auditable mean in this case? What does auditable mean specifically in this case?
Don?
Well, what we're hearing is that some of the rosters have data in them that are being contested or need to be looked at for accuracy. So I would say that when something is audited, it's an attempt to determine the accuracy of it. For instance, if someone appears as a volunteer...
Don? The question is not what is – he's asking what does auditable mean? What's the definition of auditable?
No, I know what I mean. I mean, what does it mean in a practical fashion? Right. Yeah, in this context.
Can we – Mary would like to respond.
Yeah, well,
can,
Mary,
you yield?
Take a swing.
It simply means that it's verifiable and it's certifiable, so there's data to look at to see. It's not just, well, here's a thing on a piece of paper. It can be verified, and the word auditable by analogy with financial audits.
May we proceed?
So it's a high level of –
It's simple.
No, my concern is that I'm making sure that this is actually something that can be achieved by the local stations.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else would like to speak in opposition? Seeing no opposition, may we adopt the motion without objection?
Yes.
It's adopted without objection.
Is that with the bottom part struck out in there?
The last paragraph is struck,
and the first few words of the second paragraph are adjusted. John, do we have? Does the transparency of meeting require action at this time?
Let me put it forward. I'm actually just a member of this committee, and so it's a responsibility of mine to bring forward committees' motions here. In the June 2006 report, language was included on page 4 that was not the text as passed.
Which motion?
Yeah, this is...
Motion 5, transparency of meeting. But that motion is does not
you know
pertain
what? I
to
think,
elections.
I think we can handle this later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yes, Rob.
I just want to say I wrote to everybody on the 26th. I think if the board's elections committee can be doing anything to help the situation right now, it's to be writing comprehensive, detailed regulations that stipulate how every aspect of this election is conducted. My concern is that what we have heard in part from our election supervisor is that the situation in the with the elections is far more problematic than we thought. Can we have order, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, would the members please not...
I personally believe that we're going to find out after we have failed to meet quorum in one or more of our signal areas that conditions at the local stations are far worse than Mr. Radke alluded to today. So I would advise this body to seriously consider taking a look at whether or not the election should go forward with so much evidence that there are problems in the way the process is being conducted and who is conducting it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda is A.C. Byrd's motion on supplemental archives funding, for which we've allotted 15 minutes. A.C. would like to propose the motion.
Thank you. This is now A.C. Byrd and Evelyn Bethune and Rip Robinson. Motion. The three of us got together and worked on this motion. We've talked extensively with Brian as well regarding this motion, and to some degree with other members of the PNB. The motion is moved that the Pacifica National Board undertake a 3 to 5 year plan to assure the preservations and long-term protection of the archives by addressing this emergency. The need to review, transfer, and preserve the vulnerable media now sitting in storage and direct the archives director to investigate outsourcing tape preservation with various firms and to report these findings to the PNB at its next open agenda meeting. And the balance of this is going to be divided between the other two sponsors. I think the next person is Rip.
Yes. I'm sorry, AC, did you mention the section where the 3 to 5 year plan?
Yes.
Okay, so what we have is we're going to consider the information that Brian brings back, and after consultation with the station managers and the archives director, the PNB will formulate the draft of the 3 to 5 year plan to significantly accomplish this goal. And any manager absent from the discussion will provide a written statement to consider. The plan will be financed in the following manner, and we have filled out the financial impact statement that we heard about just a bit ago. And I've already spoken to a couple station managers about this. Now, this is what could be called a radical plan because it's going to cost money. The plan will be financed in the following manner. Stations will each be assessed up to $25,000 each year for 2 fiscal years, paid in monthly installments. Oh, wait, paid in quarterly installments, excuse me. And the national office will be assessed $35,000 each year for 2 fiscal years to cover the payments needed to contract with the tape preservation services, with the actual amounts determined after those costs have been amortized over the 3 to 5 year plan. And the WBAI and WPFW will have their assessment. Oh, and KPFT will have their assessment charged at the end of the fiscal year. And then, Evelyn, are you going to read the rest?
I can. The fourth item is that fourth item is that the in February 2007, at our board meeting, the board will finalize the plan and authorize the work to begin. And item five is at the October 2009 PNB meeting, the board will review the plan and after consultation with Chief Financial Officer and Archives Directors, Managers, reassess the timetable of the plan. So after the two-year period, there'll be a reassessment to see if it needs to be continued. The reason that we're bringing this forward is because of the urgency of, it's not something that we feel can wait until the next budget cycle. We have archives, information, tapes that are basically disappearing. And if we don't address it, we talked about this at our last quarterly meeting of the PNB, but we did not put an action plan in place to do something. And we really feel that it is very critical that we don't go to another, come out of another PNB meeting and not put an action plan in place to take care of something that is just critical to the life of Pacifica. And that's the way we view the archives and why we've tried to put together an action plan that can be implemented. We also talked with our chief financial officer in terms of the feasibility and our ability to actually do this. And I believe that he will support us and help figure out how we can get this done.
I assume the motion seconded since it's brought by three members. That's so true, the members like would like to further motivate, they can, but yeah. Recognize that we have 7 minutes left after that presentation, your motivation limits the debate.
I just wanted to say that I think this would be great for the Pacifica Foundation to do this because it would demonstrate our willingness to protect our properties. And it also, I think, given that all stations use this, and apparently the affiliates use it also, I think it would be a great thing for this organization to project this and move it forward in our literature to explain what we've done to preserve this great and historical information. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. As board members know, at the pace of the current restorations, it will take decades to get around to digitizing all the tapes. In the meantime, they're rotting away, flaking into dust. Many are without labels and therefore contain unpredictable content, some of which may be highly historical. The bulk of the tapes probably contain material that we would all consider valuable. We're presently allocating far less than 1% of the Pacifica budget for this specific work, as much of the business of the archive staff is conducting business, not preserving these tapes. If we ignore the responsibility we have to protect this history, the next generation will look back and ask why we failed to act to protect this resource, the history of our immigrant and populist cultures, the voices of those who run counter to the dominant social and economic structure and the totalitarian trends of corporate control. People need this material to present the truthful history of our communities, our country, and our government. This is a challenge and somewhat of a hardship, but given the multi-million dollar budgets of our stations, requesting 1% per year seems a reasonable step, and I really believe that the membership, the listeners, will buy into this plan because I have yet to meet anyone that doesn't support the protection of the archives.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask you to recognize Brian and recognize Lonnie and ED.
And at the end of that, there'll be no more time for any debate. So, I mean, 30 seconds each, 60 seconds each. Go ahead, Brian.
I'm almost brought to tears by the motion that the three directors have brought to the board. I've been doing this for 8 years, coming to 36 board meetings, and I think that this really will take us to the new millennium with Pacifica. I think that Pacifica, the foundation and the stations will be able to utilize this as an incredible outreach program that the citizenry of this country can see that this foundation has a dedication to the memory of the country. Thank you.
Lonnie?
I support the motion. I believe we need to do something about the archives. I think that with the support of several directors and with the stations and with the national office, we can get this done. And we need to move. Now's the time to do it. Bob?
I totally support this, and I applaud the directors who created this motion. Just two very small questions. On the $25,000 per station, Lonnie, how does that affect the requirement for the one-month reserve and just the general balancing of the budgets? How will that be handled?
Well, in the case of the three larger stations, I think that's manageable for them. And the way I see it worded with the smaller stations, that it's at the end of the fiscal. If it does not seem feasible for those smaller stations, then of course that can be dealt with at that point.
Alan. Okay, and my second question I heard something, AC, about the next open agenda board meeting. Is that the date that the entire plan is to be done by? That's a few weeks from now. Maybe I misheard it.
No.
Next open board meeting is when Brian's going to come back and give us information about the available firms, the services provide that service, that we would have material to base that. And the other point that I'd like to make, it was brought up right now, is this money is specifically earmarked for the tape preservation and not to be used for any other purposes. There's no other riders, and Brian's agreed that this is specifically for this purpose.
Alan.
I work in an office at KPFK which had some archival material, and the conscientiousness with which the archives handles the material I think really sets a marker for our network in terms of dealing with things responsibly, professionally. I wholly endorse this.
Rosalinda.
No, I also support the motion put forth, and he answered my question. I had it in terms of specifically what was this money going to be used for, and was it going to be used for staff?
I have LaVarne, Lydia, Teresa.
Just briefly, yeah, I wholeheartedly support this. But also, I'd like to, in terms of the archive committee, I would like, as an aside, that to form like a working group or a committee to fundraise our, you know, some other means, grants, whatever, in order to support this initiative that you put forward, that also be added to the archive committee as a working group.
It actually already exists. Okay. We just now have them active. We have something to do for them to do.
Reactivate. Okay.
Lydia.
Yes, and I totally appreciate this motion completely. I just, for those of us that aren't on the committee, we don't know all of the nuts and bolts. In other words, what has been considered, partnerships, for example. I've heard rumors about Google and so on and so forth. But the other thing is the feasibility of, instead of the way that it's framed, but coming out with the same chunks of money, is to allow the stations and or archives to add an additional day of fundraising on air that the stations would each be obliged to have in order to raise that amount of money. I'm concerned that my instinct is to move to postpone until the October meeting with the time certain that we would pass something. But I feel like we're rushing through a discussion that we haven't explored all the ways of raising the money. But the commitment is definitely there to get you the money. So that's my only concern.
Can I just reply to our consideration of that? Just
yes.
Very briefly in 15 seconds is that we did get feedback from two station managers that in our discussion, we wanted to allow flexibility in the fundraising and not mandate that it just be the on-air fund drive. But that's certainly not out of the options. It's an option of how to fund drive, and if that's the method, then that would
be
enough. I'll help.
Teresa.
I'm on the archives committee, and I don't really see them listed in this at all. That may or may not be good. I'm also concerned that there does not seem very much incentive here for the archives department to get grants. And I've always thought that if there was anything that Pacifica did, we should be able to find grants. And I'm just wondering if we could maybe put something in here that would encourage us to find money. I mean, this is $35,000 is somebody's salary at our station. Or, you know, I just think that it would be nice that if we provided some incentive to look outside our organization a little bit for some monies that should be should be provided for this work.
Yes, sir. Okay, we're at time. We do not have any further time for debate. And you don't have to call the question. It requires two-thirds to extend time. I hear that there's a request to divide the question. Is there any objection to dividing the question and vote? Tell us where the division would take place.
Yes, the division would come where I would like to separate off the dollar amount and the conditions of the financing. What I think we need to have urgently is that they go get the proposals, find out what they can be doing, and report back immediately. We could take up the fund. We're not going to pay anybody.
No. We're out of time for debate. You tell me what the division is.
I'm sorry.
No, if we do that, then I'd rather move to postpone.
Excuse me. No more.
In that case,
okay, there's a motion to excuse me. There's a
if this would trigger a motion to postpone, I will withdraw the motion to divide. I am just urging that we pass the intent and be able to get something
that's
going.
That's
debate. Now.
Excuse me. So tell me the status. Is there a motion to divide or is there not? It's been withdrawn.
I will have to withdraw it.
Okay.
Based on
all those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand.
Which motion?
Main motion.
Main motion. The main motion, as read by three people.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
All those opposed?
I want to thank the directors for a bold step.
Thank you very much. The next item on the business is the unfinished business. We have the FS.
Are there any no votes?
No, there were no votes. We have listed the FSRN contract first in the motion on habeas corpus second, but I think the latter will take essentially no time. I'd like to deal with that first if there's no objection by the board. Okay. Greg, can you read the motion on habeas corpus?
I can, but do you want me to read it?
I want you to read it, and then I will ask a board member to move it.
Okay, motion on S-3930. Whereas the Senate, the U.S. Senate, in passing S-3930, has given President Bush extraordinary and chilling power to indefinitely detain and try prisoners in the so-called war on terror, and whereas the legislation strips detainees of the habeas corpus right to challenge their own detention and permits use of coercive interrogation tactics such as stripping, hooding, hypothermia, and other objectionable techniques, and whereas the bill immunizes U.S. officials from prosecution for torturing detainees whom the military and CIA captured before the end of last year, and whereas this legislation undermines fundamental constitutional provisions and the Bill of Rights, embraces police state methods, and continues the decay of American democracy, therefore, the Pacifica Foundation empowers its executive director in consultation with the organization's council to use the resources of the foundation to educate and inform the public on the dangers of this legislation, specifically including the airing of a public statement about the issue on the five sister stations of the Pacifica Network as soon as possible, a press conference announcing Pacifica's viewpoint and intentions, consistent on-air coverage of the issue, including on-air announcements of any legal proceedings in signal areas regarding this issue. Where appropriate, developing educational alliances with journalists and legal organizations that are addressing this issue. Filing amicus briefs in any relevant lawsuits and any other appropriate measures that are consistent with Pacifica's historic mission. The Pacifica National Board also requests that the executive director on a regular basis collect reports from station managers and or program directors on what local stations are doing concerning this issue and report to the PMB at each meeting on what is being done at both the national and local levels.
Before anybody moves it and seconds it, I should say non-citizen detainees have lost habeas corpus because it's not all
okay.
Detainees.
Yes.
Would anybody like to move that motion?
I saw it.
Rip has moved it. Who would like to second it?
Second.
Okay. Everybody has seconded it. Is there? Would anybody like to speak in opposition to the motion? Hearing no opposition, may we adopt it without objection? Excuse me. May we adopt it unanimously?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
This is not an objection to the motion, but I'm never satisfied with the term president in front of the word Bush. So that's been debatable. It's not conclusive. I think there should be a question by that, and so that's the only thing I take. So
the motion is unanimously approved. The next item is the Free Speech Radio News contract. Executive director, in collaboration with a team from staff and a board negotiations task force, has negotiated a contract with FSRN, and the board's motion on the topic calls for this board to approve it. It has been discussed, details of it, confidential details have been discussed in private session. And Bob Lederer moved that a discussion take place on those items that are not confidential in public session prior to our voting for the contract.